Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Even during a pandemic, we must continue to praise the name of the Lord. Bless you. Get on the phone, text, email, get on social media. Tell them that the broadcast is on and there is a word that will strengthen, that will encourage them, as we always try to do, of course, with the help of the Lord. All right, then get your Bible, bless your heart, and your electronic device, and turn with me to John's Gospel, the 16th chapter and the 13th verse. John 16:13. This is the ESV, and it reads, "When the Spirit of truth comes," Jesus is speaking, "when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to enter into this spiritual climate, this spiritual atmosphere that we live called the kingdom of God. And may the speaker, the teacher, be anointed to bring forth truth and revelation to your people. May the people, may their ears be open to hear. May their hearts receive the word so that fruit can come forth all for your glory. Do, Heavenly Father, only what you can do. Through your Son and by your Spirit, save, heal, deliver, set free is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, bless your hearts. Again, text someone, call them, tell them they're going to want this message fresh. Certainly it'll be online to get, but you want this fresh off the press. We're going to continue our talk, our discussion, and teaching on the power of Pentecost and why it's so important for us to celebrate Pentecost and even understand what Pentecost is all about. Tonight, well, Sunday, we talked about the power of Pentecost and the joy that the Holy Spirit brings into the life of the believer, why we need the joy of the Lord, why we need to remember Pentecost and celebrate it, so we can be reminded that the joy of the Lord is our strength, so that we can overcome everything that's standing and fighting against us. Tonight we're going to talk about the peace of God that comes from our relationship with the Holy Spirit. All right, so we read John chapter 16, verse 13, where Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth comes," who is the Holy Ghost, "he will guide us into all truth." Jesus told his disciples they couldn't understand certain truths until they receive the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth, synonymous, same spirit. There are certain things that Jesus taught his disciples, and then there are other things he taught them that they couldn't fully understand or wouldn't fully understand until they receive the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Listen very carefully. Write this down. First point, because the Holy Spirit continues the instruction that Jesus started. Say that again. The Holy Spirit continues the instruction started by Jesus so that we can continue the ministry Jesus started. I'm going to say that again. We need the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit continues the instruction started by Jesus so we can continue the ministry Jesus started. Holy Spirit helps us continue the ministry Jesus started. So we need the help, the leading, the guiding, the strength of the Holy Ghost to continue the ministry that Jesus started. It is Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Ghost that reveals God to us. It is Holy Ghost that reveals God to us, and Holy Spirit also reveals God's plan for us in the Scriptures. Holy Ghost reveals God's plan for us. This is why we need to read the Bible with the assistance, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so He can reveal God's plan to us. See, without the Holy Ghost in our reading of the Scriptures, in our studying of the Scriptures, it's no different than studying geography. You just get a bunch of information, but you don't get revelation. Holy Ghost gives us information as well as revelation, which is revealing to us God's plan for our lives. Now, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same interchangeable, Spirit of Truth, all the same person, can only reveal the truth to us we know from the Word of God we read. Holy Ghost can only reveal the truth that we have studied. It's like an orange. It's like an orange. If I have an orange or had an orange in my hand or have an orange in my hand, I can't see the sections of the orange until I peel or reveal the sections of the orange. As long as it's not peeled, the sections are not revealed. Also, you can't get the juice out of the orange until you go into the orange. You can just hold an orange in your hand and never get the juice until you go deeper into that orange. It's the same way with the Word of God. You will not get revelation unless you unpeel it, unless you go deeper into it. So once the Holy Ghost comes into our lives, He begins His work. His work is leading, again, instructing, guiding, healing, and revealing God's truth in us. Holy Ghost reveals God's truth in us. Psalm 25:5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Lead me into your truth. Teach me your truth. Teach me what it means to be saved. A preacher can preach salvation, but do you know what it means for you to be saved? Psalm 43:3. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let your light and your truth lead me. The truth of your word lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Notice what the psalm writer says. He says, it is by the leading of the Holy Ghost that we are brought into the presence of the Lord. The Holy Ghost brings us the presence of the Lord and brings us into the presence of the Lord. He calls it God's holy hill where God dwells. See, this is very, very important because we don't want to be people that go to church, but we're not in the presence of God. We don't want to be people that read our Bible, but never get into the presence of God. We don't want to be people that sing and worship, but we never enter the presence of the Lord because we do not have and neither do we understand the purpose and the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You see, the more truth that we learn, the closer we get to Jesus. Yes. The more truth we learn, the more of God's word we learn and is revealed to us, the closer we get to Jesus. Why is that important? Because we have to move, please write this down. We have to move from a servant mentality to a friend or covenant mentality. And it is Holy Spirit that helps us do that. You hear people say, I don't like to read the Bible. It's just full of do's and don'ts. Well, see, you have a servant's mentality. When you have a friend or covenant mentality that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives, you begin to see the promises of God as you read the scriptures. You begin to see the covenant promises of God. You begin to realize God made you some covenant promises, and there's some things that God is going to do for you because you are his child and you are part of his plan. That is what Holy Ghost helps us see when we read the scriptures. Jesus says in John 15:15, no longer, hear this very well, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. Jesus says, but I have called you friends, hold another relationship, for all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that something? Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore because I've let you in on the plans. I don't call you servants. I don't call you a slave anymore. Slaves don't know anything but what their duties are, what their job is, what their responsibilities are. But friends know the plans of the master. Write this down. Write this down. Write this down. The difference between a servant and a friend is knowledge. The difference between a servant and a friend is knowledge. That's all Jesus said. I'm calling you friend because I'm giving you extra knowledge. I'm letting you know things. Slaves and servants don't know what you know. So the difference between a servant and a friend is knowledge, intimate knowledge of the plans God has for you. See, one of the things that makes slaves and servants nervous and fearful is uncertainty. I don't know what's going to happen to me today. I don't know what my Lord, my master is going to force me to do. I don't know if I'm going to make him angry and he puts me in a pit or puts me in a hole or doesn't feed me for weeks or even just plain kill me. See, that's the mentality of a slave or a servant. You don't know the plans that your master has for you. But because we're not servants any longer, hallelujah, because we understand now by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we are in covenant with God, we have certainty. Our future is certain. And that future that we know is certain because it's been revealed and being revealed to us by our Father takes uncertainty out of the picture. And since I'm not uncertain, or since rather I am certain that God has plans for me, plans to prosper me and give me a future and a hope, which he says in Jeremiah 29, since I know I have knowledge of my future, I'm not fearful. The reason many of you are fearful is because you're uncertain. But I'm telling you tonight, you can be certain that God has a plan for you to bless you, to prosper you, and not to harm you. But you need it to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. I can say it and say it and say it until I'm blue in the face, as they say. But until you get a revelation, until the Holy Spirit, till you allow Holy Spirit to reveal it to you, you're going to walk around uncertain and in a flux and in fear. I rebuke the spirit of fear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you can know your future is secure. You can know that. Holy Ghost removes fear from our lives because why? The Bible says fear has torment. Some of you are tormented and you don't need to be. Man, I feel that in my heart. Some of you are tormented in this hour, in this season. You are tormented by all. You can't even sleep through the night because of the torment and the tormenting thoughts the enemy keeps bombarding you with. But my brother, my sister, The Holy Spirit gives the believer not only peace with God, but the peace of God. Lift your hands now and ask the Lord to give you the peace of God. Hallelujah. You're already saved, so you have peace with God. God is not mad at you because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. But you need the peace of God. You need peace in your heart so you're not tormented. Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We talked about joy. Again, Sunday, I'm talking about peace because you're in the kingdom, my brother. You're in the kingdom, my sister. You need to have the peace of God in your life. After Jesus was resurrected, the very same day, Jesus, well, before I go there, the disciples were confused. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, the disciples were confused. They didn't really think he was going to leave. He was only 33 years old. They didn't think he was going to leave, even though he told them that he was. They didn't want him to leave. Would you want Jesus to leave? I mean, you're hanging out with Jesus 3.5 years. He's only 33 years old. You think he's going to live a long time. It's going to be a great run for at least another 30, 40 years. Healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, feeding thousands of people. This is going to be awesome. He can't die. He can't leave. So they're confused, even though he told them he had to be crucified. They didn't want him to go. So now they're confused and they're also fearful. Why are they fearful? They were fearful that they would be hunted down as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, and killed just like Jesus was killed in their eyes. Hear me. This was the condition of the disciples at Jesus' crucifixion, even up until his resurrection. So as I said, when I got started, so as on the day of Jesus' resurrection, on that he rose again on that Sunday, as old folk you say, early Sunday morning. When Jesus got up early that Sunday morning, that Sunday evening, the Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 19, that the disciples, hear me, please understand. The disciples were locked in a room together, hiding. They were fearful that they would be hunted down and crucified or killed just like Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Jesus enters the room supernaturally, meaning he didn't come through the door. It was locked. He didn't crawl through the window. There was no basement. He entered the room supernaturally. And he stands in the middle of the disciples, and this is the first thing he says to them. Peace be unto you. Glory be to Jesus. Peace. The first thing he says, again, they're terrified. They're scared. They're confused. They're hiding. And Jesus shows up supernaturally, and the first thing he says is, peace be unto you. So again, why does he do that? Why is that what he says? Why didn't he say, hey, fellas, whatever. He could have said, but why did he say, peace be unto you? Because like I said, these disciples of his were afraid. Their world had got turned upside down. And my brothers and my sisters, hear the Lord. Hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking through your pastor. Speaking through me right now. Some of you today, disciples, believers, saints, love God. You're locked behind the doors of your home or your apartment, afraid to come out, fearing you'll be attacked by a virus and killed. You love God. You are a bona fide disciple. You are a straight up believer, but fear has gripped you. Fear has gripped you like it gripped the disciples during Jesus' earthly ministry. For us to understand the power of God, the power of the peace of God, we must understand why these disciples were so fearful, because it's probably the same reason some of you are fearful even to this day. We have to understand. We have to understand. You see, Jesus' disciples had seen the powers of darkness operating, please hear me, through the religious system and the political system. They saw the forces of darkness working together, religion and politics, to capture and kill Jesus. Please hear me. They witnessed this with their own eyes. The religious system of the day, along with the political system, working together to capture Jesus and have him crucified. Think about that. They probably never would have thought in a million years that the religious Jews of their day would work with their oppressors, the political Roman Empire, and have Jesus crucified. Kind of sounds like today. They'd never seen that before and probably never thought that would ever have happened. They saw Jesus do miracles, signs, and wonders that no man had ever done, ever in the history of the world, up even to this day. And so they cannot be thinking that a man with all this power could be captured and crucified. So now Jesus is dead. They're thinking, how could this happen? How could a man of God be overtaken like this? Could it be that the powers of darkness are stronger than the powers of God? They're confused. They're afraid. They're going to come after us next. This is probably what they're thinking, or even worse, they were terrified. And can I be honest? 99% of us would have been too. We have the benefit of history, but if we were then or living then, we probably would have been scared too. So today, those of us that are alive, those of us that are believers today, we've seen and experienced what few people in history have experienced and seen: a pandemic. None of us have seen a pandemic before. None of us have been in a pandemic before. It was terrifying. I was talking to Pastor Deborah. I remember when it first hit and we first heard about it, and you know, certain people that you know that has connections in various places would tell me they're going to shut the country down. It's worse than what they're saying. And so as you keep hearing these things, I've never heard shut the country down. What? Shut the country down? And then we want you to stay in your homes and don't go anywhere unless you need food. I mean, I've never heard anything like that. So I'm like, what is out there? What that I got to stay in my house? What? I've never heard these things before. I've never heard these statements made. So there's this nervousness built, and I'm remembering myself saying, don't go out. What's out there? All of these things were developing fear in me. And it did with so many other millions of people. None of us have ever experienced a worldwide event that's affected every person on the planet. You're watching TV and people are dying in various countries, and it's nerve-wracking. No wonder so many people are saying, this thing is, I've never experienced anything like this, just like the disciples. What is going on in this world? Isn't God in control? That's how many of you all felt. And some still do. Truth be told, our fears were warranted. Listen, it's not strange for you to be fearful. It's human. It's not unusual for you to be concerned about your life. That's part of what it means to be human. This, I believe, is the same type of fear that Jesus' disciples had, and the reason they were hiding behind locked doors. They were afraid of what was out there. Jesus, who is our high priest, who has been touched with the feelings of our infirmity, knew his disciples were fearful. He knew it. They spent 3.5 years with him, but he spent 3.5 years with them. He knew them. He knew they were afraid. So when he appears supernaturally in that room, behind those locked doors, the first thing Jesus says to them is, "Peace be with you," or "peace unto you." And that's the same thing that Jesus is saying to you today. Peace be unto you. Peace be with you, my brother. Peace be with you, my sister. It's okay to be afraid. We understand. We're experiencing things that nobody else has. But I also want you to know that Jesus was not surprised by Corona. He wasn't surprised by the pandemic. Holy Ghost was still here. He's still here when Corona showed up. I just want you to realize the peace of God is available to you. Jesus says, "Peace be unto you." Once. Then he says, "Peace be unto them," again. Verse 22, John chapter 20. After he had said this, he breathed. He breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." After he said, "Peace be unto them," he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." He said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." After speaking divine peace, hallelujah, into their lives, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit upon them and into them. Now, listen to this. Track with me. The Bible tells us 8 days later, they're still locked in a room. After Jesus releases on them the peace of God, after Jesus breathes upon them the Holy Spirit, they're still locked behind closed doors. It takes, another way we could say it, it takes 8 days for the peace of God and the Holy Ghost to begin to take effect in their lives. 8 days later, Jesus appears to his disciples again, and he says for the third and final time, "Peace be unto you." He only says it 3 times. He said it to them the first time twice. And he says it to the last time, the second time he visits them, he says it 1 time. But now he's talking to Thomas, because the first time Jesus enters the room that they're locked in, Thomas isn't there. He comes back again when Thomas is there. I want somebody to hear this. It's a prophetic word. It's a word of wisdom and word of knowledge right now. God hasn't forgotten you weren't in the room. He's going to come back and do for you what he did for everybody else, because he loves you just like he loves everybody else. You just weren't in the room. But Jesus came back because Thomas is now in the room, and he wants Thomas to have the same peace everybody else got. He wants Thomas to have the Holy Spirit operating in them like everybody else. I want you to know right now, no matter where you are, the peace of God is invading your space, and Holy Ghost wants to minister the peace of God to your life. So he shows up in the room, and he's talking to Thomas, who later became known as Doubting Thomas. And he says, Tom, I'm paraphrasing because I wasn't there. I'm only 60. He said, Tom, okay, you don't think it's me? Take your finger, put it right here. You don't think it's me? Take your hand, put it in my side. My God. And then Jesus says something very, very stern. And I have to quote it because he said it. And I think it's necessary, because this spirit of fear that's coming on the church, that's come on a lot of believers that maybe feel like Thomas or just still fearful and they're behind locked doors. Jesus says, after you take my hand and place it in my side, and then Jesus says, stop doubting and believe. It's time to stop doubting. I've given you my peace. I've given you Holy Ghost. It's time. It's time to stop doubting and believe. What does Jesus do? He does what he can do to reassure them, this is me. Oh, God in heaven. What am I saying? Jesus has been doing all he can to remind you, my brother and my sister, that it is him. He's still Jesus. He has not changed, other than he's in his glorified state, but he's still Jesus. And some of us need to be reminded of who Jesus is. You've forgotten who he is. That's why you're filled with fear, because the world and the enemy and the little g god of this world has gotten into your head and your heart, and you have forgotten who Jesus is. So Jesus has to show up again, like he did with Thomas, and say, put your finger in my hand, put your hand in my side. Now, don't you know it's me? It's me. I'm the same one that was walked with you and talked with you and taught you. I'm the same one that was crucified. I'm the same one that was risen from the dead. I am he. Stop doubting and believe. Another way we could hear that and take that. Stop hiding behind those locked doors. Stop hiding. I'm the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, he's the same Jesus. Corona hasn't stopped Jesus from being Jesus, hadn't stopped the Father from being the Father, and hasn't stopped Holy Ghost from being Holy Ghost. So stop hiding and go out and win the world for Christ. You cannot be an effective witness if folk can't see you. So, my brothers and sisters, in this event, these two similar events, before they could receive the peace of God, they had to remember who Jesus is. That's what it's telling us. Thomas, it's me. It's me. Remember me? Tom, shake it off, man. I know outside those doors it's a lot of death, chaos, and but look at me. It's me. Remember Jesus. Remember who he is. So when I say peace, hallelujah, be unto you, you can receive it because you know it's coming from me. So before they could receive the peace of God, they had to remember who Jesus was and what Jesus had accomplished on the cross. And then before they could be freed, hear this now, before they could be freed from their fear, they had to receive the Holy Spirit. Before they could be freed from their fear, they had to receive the Holy Spirit. Before they could reject the spirit of fear, they had to be willing to receive the Holy Spirit. Lift your hands right now and say, I reject the spirit of fear and I receive the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. We reject the spirit of fear that's got people locked behind doors, terrified about the future. You're not a slave. You can know your future is bright. For the path of the righteous burn brighter and brighter until that perfect day. It is not over. Hallelujah. For the believer, you're not a slave. You don't walk around not knowing what's going to happen from day to day. Your future is secure in Christ Jesus. Holy Ghost reminds us that no matter what we hear from wherever we may hear it, Holy Ghost will tell you, this is not my plans for you. I have a plan for you, and this isn't it. Before they could leave that locked room, they had to have the Holy Ghost. Before they could go out there and confront a crazy, evil, sinful, sick world, they had to have the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, I say to you, peace be unto you. I say it in the name of Jesus, the one that's authorized me to use his name, the one that's authorized me to speak his word, the one that has anointed me and called me to do this. I speak peace unto you. I come against all confusion. I come against all fear of sickness, disease, poverty, lack. I come against all these things that are bombarding your head and your heart and have you confused. I come against the confusion, even in the medical community that says this is this, and then one day they say that, and then they say, well, if you don't have it, then you don't get it. Then all the speak peace to you. Whose report do you believe? I'm telling you what I've been saying from day one. I believe the report of the Lord. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should change his mind. If he said he got you, then he got you. It don't matter what's outside those walls of your apartment or your home. If God said he's for you, then he's more than the world against you. So I speak peace to your spirit. Peace be unto you. Write this down. About finished. I feel like running. I feel like running. Peace in Hebrew is shalom. Shalom. And it means, very simply, total well-being. Man, I feel like running. Total. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Total well-being. Do you hear what Jesus spoke into the lives of his fearful followers? He said, it doesn't matter what's going on out there. I speak total well-being into your life. And I speak it into the lives of everyone under the sound of my voice. I declare total well-being. Well-being in your mind. I speak against everything that's bombarding your mind. The Eshata got you confused. Don't know who you are. Don't know if God loves you. Don't even know if God saved you. You've been bombarded by so much bad news. I speak peace and well-being to your mind. Settle your mind that I speak peace and well-being to your body. Hallelujah. I don't care if you got high blood pressure. I don't care if you're hot one minute and cold the next minute. I don't care what kind of symptoms. I don't care if you can't taste broccoli. I speak well-being to your physical body. It will begin to function according to how God has designed it. I speak shalom shalom to your body. I speak shalom to your family, to your household. I know your household, like millions of others, have been disrupted by this pandemic, and all kinds of crazy and chaos is going on in your house, and you can't even find your favorite pair of socks. I speak well-being to your home, to your family. I speak well-being to your marriage. You and your wife can't get along. You're on each other's nerves. You don't even know how to talk to each other anymore because of all the things you're dealing with individually. You don't even have the same language that you had before the pandemic. I speak peace to your marriage in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak well-being into your marriage. Is he not still Jesus? Is he not still the one that married you? He's the third person in your covenant with your spouse. I speak peace to your marriage, peace to your children, well-being in every area of your life. Shalom also means prosperity. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. You know, I just got to say it, and I'm amped up, I'm hyped up, I'm built up, I'm fired up, and I'm under the anointing. Let me tell you something. Let's stop listening to other believers or non-believers that have a problem with prosperity. That is, it's just so ridiculous to me right now. Listen, God wants you to prosper. God doesn't want you poor and broke. That's insane to think that. The world wants that guilt trip on us so they can have all the resources. Let's just stop it. Shalom means prosperity. That means God wants us to prosper in every area of our lives, including financially. So those of you that have been struggling, waiting on money from the government and waiting on the unemployment and stimulus, all these things, I speak prosperity into your finances. May God give you witty inventions, ideas. May you discover monies hidden, monies unclaimed. May inheritances show up. May properties and land show up. May a painting from Rembrandt be in your attic. I just speak prosperity over your life. Peace be unto you. And lastly, shalom means security, safety. I speak it into your life. Those of you that are afraid of the dangers of the day, Paul did say in the last days it would be perilous, dangerous times, times that are hard to take and hard to handle. But we've got the Paraclete. We have Holy Spirit who comes alongside to help us. And right now, He wants me to tell you what Jesus has already said. Peace be unto you. He wants you to feel the security of your God in your life. Jesus said, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. And when I go, I'm going to send another just like me. Hallelujah. Just like me. And he's going to make you feel secure. I speak security over you. You will live and not die. But if you die, you're going to go to heaven anyway and be with the Lord. I speak security. Nobody's going to break into your house. Nobody's going to shoot you in the foot. No disease, no germ, no virus is going to take you out. I speak security. I speak it into your life and around you. I want you to sense the presence of God all around you so that you feel safe and secure. Psalm 4 and 8. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, makes me dwell in safety. I'm going to read it again. Psalm 4 and 8. Hallelujah. In peace, peace be unto you, my brother, my sister. In peace, you will both lie down and sleep. If you don't want to sleep, you'll lie down in peace and your mind won't race and your heart won't, you won't have palpitations and shortness of breath. I come against the spirit of anxiety in the name of Jesus. I speak peace unto you when you lie down and when you go to sleep. Because the Lord has made sure you will dwell in safety. Peace be unto you. You will do well in every area of your life. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, to have our minds influenced and inspired by the Holy Ghost, is life and peace. Ha! Glory to God. Peace be unto you. You will prosper during a pandemic. I speak it because I have the authority to say it. You will prosper during this pandemic. Things are going to turn around in your life as you receive the peace of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Ha! Did you hear the scriptures? May the Lord of peace himself give you. Hallelujah. 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 May the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Always, by all means, the Lord be with you all. Peace be unto you, my brother, my sisters. You are safe and secure in Christ Jesus. And then my last scripture before I explode. John 14:27, Jesus is speaking again. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I to you. Not as the world gives. Stop listening to the world. Don't you understand the world is going to protect itself? It's not concerned about the church. Why are church members, saints, believing the world? The world is lying to you. It blows my mind of how many saints believe what the world is telling them, as opposed to what Jesus is saying. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace, just so you don't get it confused. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Because the world lies. Jesus goes on to say, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. When you and I believe what Holy Spirit says in giving us revelation of the peace of God, we will not fear. We will not walk in fear. When Jesus said to his disciples three times, three is the divine number. When Jesus said to his disciples, peace be unto you, they knew exactly what he meant. Because, and it is in some circles, not so much anymore, but it was known, a well-known Jewish salutation, which means when you greet people, or when they greeted people, they would say, shalom, peace be unto you. And then when they would leave a meeting, a gathering, or a home, or an individual, it was also a benediction. They would say, peace be unto you. See, God's desire, write this down. God's desire for his children is for us to prosper spirit, soul, and body. And have, hear this, and have every earthly and heavenly blessing that he provides. Don't you forget that. Holy Ghost, bring that back to our remembrance. God desires, God the Father desires his children to prosper spirit, soul, and body, and to enjoy every earthly and heavenly blessing. That's why you and I should have the peace of God. That's what it means to have the peace of God. Bow your heads. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much. Thank you for being willing to remind all of us Thomases that have been doubting, that were uncertain. Thank you for helping all of us fearful servants, those of us that were locked in our homes, our apartments, because we were afraid of what was out there. Thank you for still being the high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. Thank you for understanding our human nature. But thank you most of all for giving us your spirit and your nature so we can come from behind these locked doors under the power of Almighty God and get busy doing what you called us to do. I thank you for the transformation that's taking place in the lives of everyone that hears this message. It's all for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, we thank God for everyone that has supported this ministry over the years. We are so humbled and honored and just grateful. So at this moment, I want you to support this ministry in all the ways that are at the bottom of your screen. And we certainly appreciate you and thank God for you. Until the next time, peace be unto you.
Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.